We're introducing this week's parsha to Esav, to Yaakov and Esav, and I thought it would be intriguing to focus a little bit on the character of Esav, in particular, in one direction. Some of us may know that amongst the Mefarshim on Chumash, there are often different styles in their forms of character analysis. Rashi, in the world of Rashi, people tend to be either good or bad. Rashi, if you're a bad guy, he'll interpret, come out everything you do in a negative light, and if you're good, come out everything you do in a positive light. The Ramban tends to be a little bit more nuanced in the way in which he looks at different biblical figures, possible to be one of the Avos and to still make a mistake here or there, possible to be somewhere in between and a little bit more and a little bit more challenging to pin down, different figures like that. Esav is an interesting figure to assess because of the following reason. On the one hand, we certainly associate Esav with a certain kind of rishus, with a certain kind of wickedness. We normally associate Esav as the person which challenges Yaakov Avinu. Esav, Chazal tell us, on the day he turns either 13 or 15, a bit of a machlokas, he commits the sin of Shvichas Damim. He kills Nimrod, Chazal say. Esav is a person associated with rape. Esav is a person associated with many of the worst sins out there. Yet, at the same time, Chazal do tell us, and there are indications of this in Chumash itself, that Esav is amazingly successful in the realm of Kibud Av V'Em. That Esav is a person, the Medrash tells in Bereishis Rabbah, Amrav Shimon Gamliel, Koyama Hayisi Meshamesh Ava, my whole life I served my father. I did not even reach a hundredth of what Esav did for his father. When I would serve my father wearing not my cleanest of clothing. When Esav would serve his father, he would do so wearing big day begadim nikiyim, wearing big day malchus. He would do so in a very impressive kind of a way. In that sense, Esav is associated with really success in the world of Kibud Av V'Em. Akedei Kach, the Sefer Chassidim even points out, to explain what's going on in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, why is it that Yaakov, when he sends Yosef to do Kibud Av V'Em, he sends Yosef to go to the brothers, even though presumably it's dangerous for Yosef, who the brothers don't like, to be able to go there. Where did Yosef learn that he should go in order to be Mekayim Kibud Av V'Em? He's listening to his father, even if it's going to be dangerous. Says the Sefer Chassidim, he learns that from Esav. Because what would Esav do? Esav would always go out to the fields. Esav would go hunting for his father. He learned from Esav that this is how you do Kibud Av V'Em. You have to sometimes even put yourself in a position of danger to be able to observe that mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Whether it's halachically true and whether the story of Yosef and his brothers is the ultimate raya that you should or shouldn't do that is for a different time. The question is, why is that so? Or how do we look at the Kibud Av V'Em of Esav? How do we perceive it? How do we relate to it? So there are, unsurprisingly, two different views. That's how you look at the Kibud Av V'Em of Esav. One mahalach is to understand that what Esav had did, the simple pshat in the Medrash, the simple pshat in the Sefer Chassidim, is Esav actually was wildly successful. He was great in terms of the entire realm of Kibud Av V'Em. He excelled in this in very meaningful ways. Moshe Wolfson points out in Emunas Yitecha that, in fact, one finds a distinction between Yishmael and Esav. Yishmael, it says in some of the Kabbalistic works, there aren't really that many gerim that come from Yishmael. But from Esav, we have Unklis, we have Shmaya v'Avtalion, the Rebbeim of Hillel and Shammai, that there seems to be that Esav wasn't all bad the way that we would assume. That's why Rav Moshe Wolfson explains the head of Esav, the Gemara in Tudan Daf Yigimel, other places, that's why Esav's head ends up being in Maros HaPela, because he wasn't all bad. He wasn't all terrible. He did have this redeeming, there was some value, and perhaps in light of that, his Kibud Av V'Em was actually fairly impressive. The Maharal points out in his Kiddush HaGadot, the Masechet Kiddushin, that it's intriguing that the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, when the Gemara tells us, tries to prove, Ad Heichan, Kibud Av V'Em, what are the limits of Kibud Av V'Em, how far does a person have to go? So then the Gemara tells, to Uru'u ma'asa avi kochavim echa ba'ashklon, v'dama ben nesina shemo. The Gemara brings a raya for how far a person has to go for Kibud Av V'Em from a non-Jew named Dama ben Nesina. Points out the Maharal, is it not coincidental that the same way that Esav is successful in Kibud Av V'Em, the Gemara's raya is also from a non-Jew? It seems like there's something going on with Esav and with non-Jews which makes them excel even more in the realm of Kibud Av V'Em. Wonders the Maharal, why would that be? Why would Esav be so good at Kibud Av V'Em? There's a couple suggestions, all of which are intriguing, although not all for now. One of them, the Maharal, is as follows. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia, in the context of Avedas Aviv and Avedas Rabo, the Gemara says, why should a person return the lost Adam of their father? What's part of the Hakaras HaTov implicit in that? It's because Aviv was Mivio La'olam Hazeh. That a person's father, that's why they're in this world. Their father is responsible for their presence in the physical world. Says the Maharal, the more that you're connected to the physical world, the easier it is for you to succeed in the realm of Kibud Avim. Because the ultimate source of Kibud Avim is the Hakaras HaTov, a recognition they brought me into the physical world. So my whole existence is about a physical world. So it's easier for me to connect to that world of Kibud Avim. And that's what the Maharal is saying, which is fascinating. On the one hand, Esav is wildly successful in Kibud Avim, and it's true. He was awesome at that. At the same time, says the Maharal, it came from a place of valuing Olam Hazeh over and above what it almost should have been. Like, he was so into Kibud Avim. It's like, it's mugzam, it's exaggerated. Like, he's willing to risk his life for it. It reflects like a deep connection because Esav was so connected to Olam Hazeh, and a father brings you into Olam Hazeh. That in many ways is where it's really all about. But be that as it may, the first Mahalach understands that the Kibud Avim of Esav was the very impressive Kibud Avim, albeit maybe the motivations somewhat questionable, at least for the Maharal. In a Shalosh Shudas Drasha, Moshe Wolfson gave, Parshas Toldos, Tafshin Nun Zayin. He has a very beautiful alternate explanation for what was happening with Esav, and it's very intriguing. He points out as follows. There are indications that much as Esav may have performed a variety of mitzvot, that Esav, on a very different level, all of his observance of mitzvot were really all an external show. He was asking questions to put on a show, but inside, authentic, he wasn't really there the same way. He was trying to come off like he was the holiest of people, but in fact, it was all really fake. It wasn't deep. It wasn't a real deep connection. He points out a very beautiful insight from Rav Nassim Adler. The Chasam Sofer quoted his great Rebbe of Nassim Adler with the following observation. If you look at the way Yaakov and Esav speak to Yitzchak, there's an intriguing difference between them. Yaakov speaks to Esav in second person, you. Esav speaks to Yitzchak in third person. Presumably, at first glance, that's because Esav was even more excellent than Kibud Avim. He spoke with a certain kind of reverence for who his father was, and therefore is a little bit more distant. Chasam Sofer quotes Nassim Adler, understood to be the exact opposite. Much as Esav was good in Kibud Avim, it was all external. When you speak in third person with someone, you're conveying a gap. You're conveying a separation between you and them. Esav was not really as connected to the real world of Yitzchak, so third person, because they were a little bit different. Yaakov's speaking in second person, you, was not because he wasn't mash of Yitzchak. It was because his connection to Yitzchak was so much deeper and so much internal. He felt so much more comfortable there. Says Moshe Wolfson, that's the real pshat. Why, in that medrash we quoted earlier, why Esav had to put on Big Day Malchus whenever he was going to go into Yitzchak. Because going into Yitzchak for him, it was external. He felt like there's a distance that was there, like a servant comes into his king. They're not as comfortable with each other. So you wear your formal clothing whenever you're going to come in and you're going to witness who your king. Yaakov, B'nai Yisrael, can come in with Begadim Luchlachim. They can come with dirty clothing. Because you can always come home with dirty clothing. You're always welcome around those that you love. You're always welcome around those that you love, irrespective of how you're dressed. And don't feel the same need to always have that kind of formality because of the extent to which they were really close. In that sense, says Moshe Wolfson, that's part of the depth of the uniqueness of Yaakov as opposed to Esav. Esav is an external figure. He comes out, he looks externally like he's already an adult and a finished product. Esav is the one that thrives. Yodei Tzayin, Yisadah, he's out there doing a lot of things. He has a certain kind of appearance. He'll ask Yitzchak, do I have to take Meisr off of my salt or not? That's where he's holding. Yaakov is the world of Pnimius. Yaakov is a much deeper connection. That's why Yaakov is the one who's Ishtam, Yoshev, Oalim. Yaakov hangs out inside tents. He can hang out inside a little bit. He doesn't have the same imposing kind of an appearance. He's much more of an internally focused kind of a figure. In that sense, understands Rav Moshe Wolfson, the success even of the Kibud Avim of Esav was really not that ideal. It was an external kind of Kibud Avim. He was distant from Yitzchak, and he put on a show with Yitzchak, but he had no problem, as Chazal tells, marrying people that were going to cause Yitzchak much pain and much distress. He had no problem doing things behind his back, doing the same degree, like wasn't going to find out, but we're ultimately going to cause a degree of have some ramifications. In that sense, Esav, an intriguing figure. Esav is Mekayim Kibbut Ava'im. Chazal praise the Kibbut Ava'im of Yitzchak. The Rambam even writes about the schar, of Esav, the schar that Esav got as a result. Hashem gives schar to all people, even if they do other Averas, for any mitzvah they do, they get tremendous schar. And for some, it's because, again, he has that schar because he did a great job with it. He wasn't all bad. And for the Maral, because those who connect more to Olam Hazeh sometimes have an easier time. That's not justification for not being good at Kibbut Ava'im, like I'm more of like a Olam Haba kind of a Jew. That's not the lesson of this. But sometimes it's more natural for them. It's more natural for them. And for Moshe Wolfson, really a critique of the Kibbut Ava'im of Esav. It was fake. It was external. It was third person. It was Big Day Malchus. It was Melech. It was all show. It was all show. And it wasn't the same authentic closeness of parent-child, which can really be there. And in that sense, Yaakov Avinu really is the ultimate model for an internally focused form of Avodah.